Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
You know, if we were voting between two kings, that might make more sense. All we would think about is the personality and the tone and that sort of thing of the people that are actually running.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with John Stone Street.
But we're talking about policy. We're talking about the worldview, as Tim said, of 3,000 non-elected officials that come along with a president and have an awful lot of influence and power. If you think about the issues we've already talked about, life and the definition of family. Who's run HHS, the Health Department of Health and Human Services? Who runs the Department of Education? Who runs the Department of Justice? These are positions that have incredible downstream impact on our everyday lives and on our neighbors.
Hear more from John today at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The Creston Community Church will be hosting its second annual Fall Women's Ministry Conference October 18th and 19th. Deanna Ramsey, who has spoken at Hume Lake, is going to take the ladies on a journey of being rooted in faith and grace. She will show how God loves us and has plans for us. Dinner on Friday, breakfast and lunch Saturday. The Creston Community Church is on O'Donovan Road. For more information, contact Becky Nunez at beckynunez0123@gmail.com or go to crestonchurch.com.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Paso Robles Glass from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzik windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Paso Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Paso Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Paso Robles Glass, the Milgard replacement window masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzik windows and doors. 805-238-4014.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and I wanted to start today off with just heartfelt sorrow for the people in North Carolina who are dealing with this just incredible devastation. It's hard to think about any petty political things when people are just losing everything they had. I visited, it was actually one of my little trips during the pandemic lockdowns. I visited the areas that are now underwater. I stayed in Black Mountain, saw Asheville, Chimney Rock. These are just some of the most beautiful towns I ever saw. And to think that they're destroyed in a once-in-a-history type of event. About 100 people have died, 600 are missing. The devastation is probably much greater than that. And this would be a kind of Hurricane Katrina event for our current administration, except nobody apparently is in charge because President Joe Biden does not seem to be. And Kamala Harris is doing all that she can to say that she's not in charge. And it's just devastating. There are reports of of looters taking advantage of the disaster, which is always the last thing you want to hear. There is a video on X, formerly Twitter, with a law enforcement, some man in law enforcement talking about how looters were slashing tires of people trying to get out. Just awful. So it's a good thing that we have FEMA in place, where the top priority for them is equity. According to FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell, that she said they're turning a page at FEMA and infusing equity throughout our agency programs and policies to better serve people who face unique barriers before, during, and after disasters. I'm not quite sure what that means, considering that in a disaster, there is no, I guess it is the true equalizing force. Everyone is in the same amount of devastation. But anyway, that is happening. And I do want to acknowledge that, because these are brothers and sisters just over on the other coast. And you never know when or where disaster is going to strike. And sending out prayers and love to those victims of that devastation. Really quick, because I'm actually mostly going to focus on good news today. There's a lot of exciting things happening, and I thought it would be a good time to highlight those. But really quickly, a bill that is kind of one of my personal pet peeves. I watched it last year move through the California legislature, and the governor vetoed it. But yesterday he signed it, because it's kind of a political show bill. It's framed as expanding IVF access, basically making insurance companies cover IVF. And because that is suddenly a big talking point on the national stage, the governor is celebrating his signing of it. And he made a big splashy press release about it. But this is a bill that redefines infertility to basically dismiss it as a medical condition. And it opens up single men, gay men, any couple that can't conceive as a couple. It gives them the automatic right to IVF or a surrogate. And it is, while the focus is going to be on the IVF angle for couples who are struggling to conceive, this very sneaky language opened up a whole can of worms to anyone who's worried about the ethics of surrogacy and the fertility, the ballooning fertility industry. So I did a story on this last year. I won't go into it in too much depth. I think I did cover it on the show. Just a reminder, California already requires health insurance plans to cover fertility treatments other than IVF for couples who are medically infertile. The state had always defined infertility based on a physician's diagnosis, or according to the widely accepted definition of not being able to have a child after a year or more of trying. But this is a pet project of a group called Men Having Babies. And the author, or the co-author, said at last year about the bill that it will ensure that queer couples no longer have to pay more out of pocket to start families than non-queer families. This bill is critical to achieving full lived equality for LGBTQ+ people, as well as advancing well-rounded and comprehensive health care for all Californians. So basically, it is another reach of the fertility industry, and it's the objections to this bill were mostly about costs, because it's going to add hundreds of millions of dollars a year to health plans, and everything in California regarding healthcare just makes health insurance more and more expensive. But as Emma Waters from the Heritage Foundation told me last year, pointing to the ethical concerns about the bill, basically it makes taxpayers pay for male couples or individual males to get a surrogate to carry a child. And the bill outlines what adults have the right to, but nowhere does it address the needs of the child or safety concerns around the child, either in IVF or in gestational surrogacy. Again, no one thinks about the baby in these situations. Greg Burt, who is the capital director of the California Family Council, told me last year that this bill seeks to further erode the father, mother, and child nuclear family and make everyone in society pay for it, to further a make-believe cause named fertility equality. So, anyway, that was signed. Just thought everyone should know, because that is something that your health plans will be paying for now. But in the good news, I want to talk about two speeches yesterday that took place. One took place, I wish I had been there. It was a major rally in D.C. called Rescue the Republic. It gathered together a hodgepodge of thinkers who are once again across the spectrum. This group of people has increasingly kind of stood up. They're all indie thinkers, and they've increasingly stood up to the censorship, around COVID, and just free speech crackdowns in general, as well as the security state. And I'm talking about RFK Jr., who has endorsed Trump and joined his campaign, Tulsi Gabbard, the former Democratic lawmaker from Hawaii, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Matt Taibbi, who is a journalist, psychologist from Canada, Jordan Peterson, and others. They have been named woo-woo and coalitions of the weird, and they're widely made fun of. But Matt Taibbi, who as a journalist I really, really admire, he has built up a pretty amazing little media empire of his own since leaving Rolling Stone, I believe, was where he was for a long time. He spoke, and I just want to read parts of his speech because I find it very inspiring. He said, "To small thinkers, free speech is a wilderness of potential threats. The people who built this country, whatever else you can say about them, weren't small thinkers. They were big, big thinkers. And I mean that not just in terms of intellect, but arrogance, gall, brass, audacity, and cheek." Kurt Vonnegut, who is a writer, always becoming more and more relevant, called the founding fathers sea pirates. He wasn't far off. These people stole a continent from the King of England and got away with it. James Madison, who wrote the First Amendment, foresaw the exact situation of a government that ignores laws. In fact, he was originally opposed to the Bill of Rights because he didn't think paper guarantees could stop a corrupt government. So he put together a document designed to inspire a personality type that would resist efforts to undo the experiment. Here an important quality came into play. Madison was a great writer. The 44 words of his First Amendment were composed with extraordinary subtlety. "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." The First Amendment didn't confer rights or entrust government with guaranteeing them. Instead, the founders stood to the side and, like an old country recognizing a new country, simply acknowledged an eternal truth, the freedom of the human mind. This is what censors never understand. Speech is free. Trying to stop it is like catching butterflies with a hammer, stopping a flood with a teaspoon. Choose your metaphor, but a fool's errand. You can apply as many rules as you want, threaten punishment, lock people up. The human mind always sets its own course, often in spite of itself. Unlike the busybodies of the internet age, to whom words are just another overproduced, overplentiful, unnecessary, and vaguely hazardous commodity like greenhouse gases or plastic soda bottles, people like Madison understood the value of language. In 1787, you might have to walk a mile or five just to see a printed word. It was likely to be the Bible. And people knew the Bible. They knew the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was a reference to Genesis. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and the world was born. For them, the idea of the Word was suffused with the power of creation itself. This wasn't law. This was metaphysics. It was cosmology. Cosmogony. Sorry. A little country run by a bunch of jumped-up tobacconists and corn farmers needed an ally to withstand the wrath of European royalty. They got it by lighting a match under human ingenuity and creativity and passion. It was rash, risky, reckless, and it worked. What was the American personality? Madison, he hoped to strengthen the will of the community, but other revolutionaries weren't quite so polite. Thomas Paine's central message was that the humblest farmer was a towering moral giant compared to the invertebrate scum who wore crowns and lived in British castles. Then he goes on, Oscar Wilde noted that ours was the only country in the world where being a kook was respectable. Every other country shunned the tinker or mad inventor and cheerfully donated them to us, turbocharging our American experiment. Oscar Wilde also wrote, and this was the quote, closing this section of the speech that I am including, "The Americans are the best politically educated people in the world. It is well worth one's while to go to a country which can teach us the beauty of the word freedom and the value of the thing liberty." So if that doesn't get your heart racing and your freedom-loving soul inspired, I don't know what would. The other speech I'm going to highlight is very different because this comes from old world Europe. Giorgia Meloni, who is the prime minister of Italy, she was elected as part of a populist movement. Everyone branded her as far right and fascist because she did emphasize and stress the importance of borders and maintaining the integrity of Italy as a country. But yesterday, she gave a speech to the Atlantic Council, far cry from the Restore the Republic movement. The Atlantic Council is kind of the epitome of establishment, globalist-minded, it's very liberal thinkers. And she spoke to that crowd, which is kind of the pro mass immigration crowd, in defense of Western civilization and why it is worth saving. She said, "Yes, crises are multiplying in the world, but every crisis also hides an opportunity for it requires to question oneself and to act. Above all, we need to recover awareness of who we are. As Western peoples, we have a duty to keep this promise and seek the answer to the problems of the future by having faith in our values, a synthesis born out of the meeting of Greek philosophy, Roman law, and Christian humanism. In short, as my English professor Michael Jackson used to say, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. We know the song. We have to start with ourselves to know who we really are and to respect that so that we can understand and respect others as well. There is a narrative that authoritarian regimes care about so much. It is the idea of the inevitable decline of the West, the idea that democracies are failing to deliver. An army of foreign and malign trolls and bots is engaged in manipulating reality and exploiting our contradictions. But to the authoritarian fans, let me say very clearly that we will stand for our values. We will do that. President Reagan once said, above all, we must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenal of the world is so formidable as the will and the moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. I couldn't agree more. Our freedom and our values and the pride we feel for them are the weapons our adversaries fear most. So we can't give up the strength of our own identity, for that would be the best gift we can make to authoritarian regimes." So those two speeches, very different crowds, very different people, but both pointing to the incredible time that we find ourselves in. This is kind of an epoch-making moment, and I think we all feel it. We feel it in the high-pitched charge of our politics. We feel as we come up to this election, which feels very different than any other election. And unfortunately, I think we feel it in our relationships with each other. I mean, I'm seeing almost more vitriol between people of different political stripes than even in 2016. Or maybe not, maybe vitriol is the wrong word, but misunderstanding of each other, and division, which is not healthy for ourselves on a personal level, and certainly not for our communities. So it is time to choose a side of whether you're going to stand up for freedom in every aspect of your life, speak freely. I was thinking of just after college, I was living in Egypt, and at the time, the dictator Hosni Mubarak was still in charge. This was before the Arab Spring Revolution. And people in coffee shops used to kind of whisper and actually believe, and you know, they tell me that there were microphones everywhere in the coffee shops, and you didn't dare talk about politics. You didn't dare say anything that would be repugnant to the regime. And in all honesty, it's not too different from how people seem to feel now. You know, so many people kind of whisper. I did that too when I was in a job where I didn't feel that I could speak freely or where my opinions differed from the preferred narrative. That sense, that kind of fear has really been hanging over us for some time. And that's not a way for free people to live. So I go back to that Oscar Wilde quote about, you know, we Americans being the best politically educated people in the world, and how we taught everyone the meaning of the beauty of the word freedom and the value of the thing liberty. So let's remember that. My guest, who is coming up shortly, is Amy Ichikawa. She is, I think, my first three-peat guest. She is the champion for women in prison here in California. And I wanted to bring her on because she's an example of someone who started as a little voice, and she is really getting heard nationwide. And I want her to update us on all of what she's up to here and in Washington, D.C. So stay with us. We will break shortly for messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. The number of deaths blamed on Hurricane Helene continues to climb. It's now at least 120. Several communities in the southeast remain flooded and in need of supplies. Fox's Steve Harrigan is in hard-hit Asheville, North Carolina.
The mayor here says the city is still in an active crisis. She said one of the biggest problems is the fact that three out of the four main highways that come in and out of Asheville have been washed out. She says they need everything.
President Biden is set to visit storm-ravaged communities later this week. The man accused of attempting to assassinate former President Trump at his Florida golf course has pleaded not guilty. Ryan Ruth appearing in federal court in West Palm Beach today.
Ruth wore a prison jumpsuit and walked into the West Palm Beach courtroom in handcuffs. After entering his plea, his attorneys requested a trial by jury.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers there. America is listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company. Our nation is in trouble.
Open borders, welfare for all, rampant crime, denying parents rights in our schools.
It has to stop.
Your Slo County Republican-endorsed candidates will fight for you and bring our country, state, and nation back to common sense reality.
Go to rpsloc.org to see your endorsed candidates and watch for your voting slate card coming soon.
Hold on to this voting card to take to the polls.
Make sure you, your friends, and family vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th.
Paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and joining me now is Amy Ishikawa. Welcome, Amy.
Good afternoon. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for coming back on. I think you are my first third-time guest. So very happy to have you. And
very
I want
honored.
To... Our regular listeners will probably remember your stories because I think they are very memorable about what's happening in California's women's prisons since our legislature passed Senate Bill 132, which lets men self-identify into prisons based on their gender identity. And this news kind of keeps rolling out of California. And for a long time, how many years have you been advocating for women behind bars?
Almost 4 years now.
Yes. And in that time, it felt like nobody cared. I mean, even writing stories about it as a reporter really cared. It's kind of tough to get people to want to look in the prisons where, you know, people are shut away and out of sight, out of mind. But you're getting, and this issue has been really gaining traction and national attention. So that's what I want to kind of highlight today, because I think that you are an incredible story of someone who just you by yourself, little old you, were able to really, really speak for the voiceless and bring the attention that this issue deserves to these women. So can you tell us about the last 3 or 4 months? This issue has been brought up in Congress at least twice in hearings. So how did this all start? How did this all start happening?
Well, in 2021, when the SB 132, the Transgender Respect, Agency, and Dignity Act was implemented, it was, you know, something that I thought we would never really have to deal with, or I would never have to bring attention to. So I've just been really hard at it with, my two partners, making sure that we're, you know, saying it loud and clear on every platform we can possibly get on, that this is a human rights crisis and it's being completely ignored by the masses, and there's a blackout on mainstream media. So finally, now that it's gaining traction, I think it's a lot of things just coming to a head at once. The nomination of Judge Sarah Netburn for a lifetime seat in one of the most important federal courts in the whole system was brought to my attention, and I jumped on it immediately. I read these reports, and it's very disturbing to see somebody who's in any court or who has any power in the judicial system have such disdain and indifference to the well-being of incarcerated women. And I try and tell people who think this doesn't necessarily affect them, or it's not an issue that matters, or that we should be platforming right now. It's absolutely an issue that has to be platformed right now, because what happens to the women inside is definitely, if they're doing it to them, they will definitely do it to us. And their unfortunate reality that they're living in right now is our future if we don't do something to stop it. So I always stress to people that it's a microcosm. This is a human science project that's going on in prison, and that's ground zero for a lot of testing for socioeconomic issues. So
I want to play a clip from the hearing. Was that in May? I believe the hearing in May, when Sarah Netburn, who was nominated by President Joe Biden for a lifetime appointment on a federal court in New York, she recommended the transfer of a man into women's prison. And Senator Ted Cruz kind of took her down in what became a viral clip. There were a lot of liberal feminists in San Francisco saying, "We never thought we'd be cheering Ted Cruz." So I'm going to play that clip.
The rights of individuals are your political ideology.
I apply the law to the facts.
I asked a question. Which matters more?
Well, my political ideology doesn't matter at all.
Okay, so I don't believe you. And I think this case demonstrates that you are willing to subjugate the rights of individuals to satisfy your political ideology. This case involves a male defendant who raped a 9-year-old boy. Was he guilty of that?
Yes, the petitioner pled guilty to that.
Okay, so he raped a 9-year-old boy. He also raped a 17-year-old girl. Was he guilty of that?
He pled guilty. The petitioner pled guilty to that crime as well.
So was he guilty?
I hope so, because she pled guilty to it.
He was a he when he did this.
That's correct.
And also criminal deviant conduct, which the record doesn't disclose what that was exactly. Then, after serving in prison, Mr. McClain was released for parole, but then violated the terms of parole by having internet and was sent back to prison. 1 year after being released again, he was convicted of having child pornography. Is that correct?
I'm unclear on exactly the time frame that you're at, but the petitioner was convicted of distributing child pornography.
Child pornography that was images of adults violently raping children.
Abhorrent conduct.
Okay.
For which there are real victims.
And this individual, 6'2", biologically a man, a minute ago you said that when this man decided that he was a she, you said this individual was, quote, I wrote it down, sober and entirely a female. That phrase struck me as remarkable. Did this individual have male genitalia?
I think what I said, or at least what I...
That is a verbatim quote, entirely a female.
Sorry, what I meant to say was hormonally a female.
Okay, but that's not entirely. Did this individual have male genitalia?
Yes.
So I will just stop it there. So this made waves, as it should have. And this kind of catapulted the issue. Everyone saw it. Everyone was talking about it. Who watches what's happening in the Senate Judiciary Committee, at least. And then shortly thereafter, it was actually the last story that I wrote before maternity leave. The judge had said that this man was not going to cause any problem for women, was not going to cause any risk. And then sources told me that this man, going as a woman, was allegedly exposing himself to female inmates in his new prison. Heard this from a former inmate of that prison who went on the record, and she remains in communication with female inmates. He pulled his genitalia from his pants and told women that he was intact and still functional. So, obviously causing harm and a risk to these women. So anyway, that was quite a takedown. And what's happening with her nomination since all of that came to light?
Her nomination is no longer on the calendar. I check regularly because I'm extremely paranoid, but she's off the calendar. So coast is clear for now. I've been told from someone at the Senate Judiciary Committee that it most likely won't come up again. But, you know, anything's possible. So my eye is still on that. But for now...
For now, it's dead.
It's dead. Yes. And you know, just to add to that, I read Sarah Netburn's report on JJS and housing JJS in a women's prison. And this report went into great detail about all of the disparities that JJS was living through without any ounce of research, not even a sentence or a paragraph dedicated to the women that this would impact. And, you know, if she did any research on the history of the prison that she sent JJS to, she would know that this prison is already rife with sexual abuse from staff, a long history of it being a really unsafe place for women. So mm-hmm. Her contribution was definitely done without any regard to women in general. It was just a pretty hateful move, and it can't be you know, blamed on ignorance or anything. She was fully aware and she had access to all of this information as well.
Hmm. The other big highlight that just came out was The Economist did a story, and they talked about the issue as an American issue, but also California. And they reported some information obtained by Keep Prisons Single Sex, which is an organization devoted to keeping female prisons all female, which found that 48%, almost half of the 1,433 inmates in federal male prisons who identify as women were there for sex offenses. That's nearly four times the share in the general population. It's even higher in Britain, where 74% of those in male prisons who identify as women are in for sex offenses or violent crimes. And in Canada, where 86% of the quote-unquote gender-diverse inmates were violent offenders and 33% had a history of sexual crimes. Furthermore, inmates identifying as women in federal male prison are three times as likely as the general prison population to be classed as high security. And these are the guys that are being moved into women's prisons. And it was interesting because I felt that this was almost burying the lead. The ACLU, as you well know, is so active on this issue. The I guess The Economist sent a query to Washington State, which has a law like California's, and wanted to ask about inmates moving from male to female prisons. And the ACLU sued to block the release of that data, so it would not come to light.
They've gone out of their way to ensure that statistics related to any trans-identified inmates is not accessible. They're doing anything they can to reduce the amount of bad press that's associated with anything trans, and it's just a suppression of the truth, and it's really unfortunate.
Hmm. There was another hearing in Congress on this issue, and yes. I believe the story of Kathleen Quinn was told. Who is a California prisoner who lost her parole 3 weeks before she was due to be released because she reported that she was being peeped on repeatedly by a male while she was using the bathroom. Can you tell me about Kathleen's story and how that has really gotten out?
Well, that one, it's extra bothersome for me because I've been friends with Kathleen since 2009 when I lived in the same honor dorm she was, removed from in handcuffs for filing an inmate complaint. She used all the proper avenues for expressing a safety concern, and she just made a statement. She wanted it to be on the record that she felt the implementation of SB 132 was causing general safety issues, and she felt that her privacy was being violated, and she didn't feel comfortable being forcibly housed with intact males. And she made it very clear that she didn't have enemy concerns or anything towards the individual who was peeping. She just wanted to make note of this and express herself. And regardless of that, even after two interviews, she was still arrested in prison and put in the restricted housing unit, removed from the honor dorm. She lost her job. She had to move to a different yard. She lost everything, including her parole suitability. And it keeps coming up. When she had to go back before the parole board for another hearing over a year later, and the first thing the commissioner said was, I know you're familiar with SB 132, but I'm not getting caught up in that today. So it's haunting her now. And in her last parole hearing, she was rolled over 5 years. So she can't go before the board again for another 5 years. So this is someone who's been almost write-up free for 20 plus years, who is, you know, being punished for advocating for herself the way they're told to advocate for themselves. And this is a person who, there have been the same reports of this peeping issue since they got to the institution. There's women on every single yard who are not in communication, who have told me the exact same stories about the peeping, sitting on the floor in front of the toilet, just very uncomfortable and not female behaviors that are being displayed here. And this person is very aggressive and has a very you know, strong presence that is pretty scary. I've been within arm's reach of this individual, and it is terrifying. It's not like a dark cloud just comes over you, knowing what this person is capable of and what their history is. It's extremely disturbing, and just to know that they're freely walking around the women's facility and they know that they're untouchable is what keeps me doing what I'm doing, because this isn't the way.
Well, and as you said, it's a microcosm where the consequences are so exaggerated, because here's a woman who was almost free, and now she's shut back for more years just for speaking out. We may face repercussions from speaking out, whether it's social ostracism or losing a job, but it's nothing like losing your freedom. So it's why this issue is so important. We're about to break from another word from our sponsors, but we will be right back with Amy Ishikawa from Woman to Woman to talk about her advocacy and the fruits of it. So stay tuned.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed for the day, but up for the week, with the Dow notching a new record close after August inflation figures support the Fed's continuation of lowering interest rates. Healthcare and financials were among the top gaining sectors, while tech stocks lost ground and dragged the tech-heavy Nasdaq lower. In China, markets had a banner week, fueled by the government's unexpected push to reinvigorate China's ailing economy. And shares of Costco fell nearly 2%. The warehouse retailer delivered weaker fourth-quarter revenue than analysts were expecting, although its profit topped estimates. Costco sales were hurt by cautious consumer spending. The Dow winners, Chevron, Home Depot, and Amgen. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, IBM, and Amazon. The Dow rising 138 points. The Nasdaq lower by 71. S&P 500 down 7. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Wow, you look fantastic.
I love all the sparkle.
It's your fault. You introduced me to jewelry television. I can't stop watching.
Right. The prices are amazing.
I know. There are so many different styles and the color gemstone jewelry. Are you kidding me? Gorgeous.
And did you notice JTV also has gifts for men? I got Jake an Invicta watch that he loves.
New JTV customers receive $40 off their next purchase when they shop jtv.com/radio.
Who are you texting?
I'm not. I'm shopping jtv.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and I'm with Amy Ishikawa from Woman to Woman, talking about her advocacy and how it is really shedding the light on the plight of women in our prisons here in the state and elsewhere, because this is very much a nationwide push under the Biden administration. We do have a caller, so let's hear from our caller. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I love your show, by the way, anyways. And there's a great topic because, you know, the media and the politicians are totally ignoring it. And what it, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, is it's going backwards for women's rights. And, I mean, if you look at it, every, you know, they talk about slavery in the institutions. I worked for an institution for 30-odd years. And these people are incarcerated for their crimes. I understand that. But the point being now is that you put this person in there that is actually a male and is a sexual predator, and you're allowing that to, I mean, the state's allowing that to happen in a state facility that all of us taxpayers are paying for, and that's right. I mean, I find it so puzzling that the politicians and government think that this is a good thing.
Well, thank you for that comment. It actually segues into something I did want to ask Amy, which is, well, two things. First, on the predator point, there was actually one of these prisoners was removed from the women's prisoner because of credible allegations of rape, and that trial is going on. I actually had a source who attended one, and she said that in one instance, the judge actually insisted on calling this man a she, even though he does not present as a woman. He was locked up and did horrific things. Can we can you update us on that case?
Certainly. Thank you, caller. That was very, very accurate and kind, and I appreciate that feeling. That case is due for a motion hearing December 2nd. I'm actually in contact with, it's very strange, I'm in contact with a lot of people regarding this case, but this is somebody that I have had warned the facility about. When I was notified about the first rape, I contacted the warden, I sent an email, I said, please, for the safety and well-being of the entire population, including this individual who is committing these crimes, please deem them as a danger to the institution. You can have this person moved. It's in the DOM, it's in the Title 15 regulations. When somebody is identified as a danger to the entire population, you have the power to move them. So please, I'm begging you to do so. And within 24 hours of the first rape, another one was committed by the same individual, allegedly. So this, thank goodness the DA picked this up and is really sticking to it. And the charges were formally two counts of forcible rape and one of dissuading a witness. And I don't hate this person. I hate what this person does. But what I'm angry about is the legislators that are facilitating these rapes. This is on their hands. This is on Senator Scott Wiener's hands. This is on every person who voted yes for SB 132's hands. This is for Gavin Newsom for signing off on a law that completely eradicates protection for incarcerated women.
And on our dime.
Yes, yes. And, Californians have no idea that they're paying for, facial feminization surgery that includes facelifts, full body laser hair removal, hip and butt implants, breast implants. For these are not life-saving procedures. These are obviously cosmetic, but not under the transgender healthcare guide. But if a woman needs a tooth cap, that's cosmetic.
Yeah. So since 2017, we did this story last year, and I used data that you obtained through records requests. But since 2017, California taxpayers have spent more than $4 million on surgical sex changes and cosmetic, quote unquote, gender affirming enhancements, including four on death row. And these include $2.5 million on vaginoplasties and hundreds of thousands of dollars on fake breasts, laser hair removal, and facial feminization. The artificial, $2.5 million for the vaginoplasties, which is the creation of artificial vaginas and vulvas for 35 male prisoners. That's how our taxpayer money is being spent.
And keep in mind, the majority of these people don't move to women's prisons. They're still living it up in the men's facility. Right. This is just the predatory people that are transferring.
We are getting a caller. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, right, thank you. Real quick, I just wanted to say I kind of lost all my stride when we're called haters for speaking our minds like what we're doing now. We do it 3 hours in the first thing in the morning on this radio station. And then a Babylon Bee came out, and it was a thing saying, who do we hate? And it reminded me, we don't hate these people. We love or we care about the women that are in prison that are being victimized. And with abortion, to me, a cousin subject to this, we care about the baby in there, not hating that woman. And we're called haters, but I think we can defend ourselves by what you just said about we don't hate them, the people that are perpetrators, so to speak. I mean, some people might perpetrators. These guys, there's some strong opinion. Anyway, we're caring about these women and these babies. We're not hating the other people.
Yes, it's a weird world when if you're defending the victim, you become the hater. I'm thinking about what the president of El Salvador said to the UN the other day, where he was saying, you know, you accused me of human rights because I locked up all the prisoners. But now what about all the millions and millions of good people who can now walk the street safely? You know, it's kind of the same principle. Thank you for your call. We actually do have another caller. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, it's me again. Sorry about that, but I can't. This topic is pretty intense for me. If you really, really look at it, what are we doing? We're subjecting women back to the 1800s before suffragettes. We are taking all their rights away when we have them incarcerated like this. And I know they're guilty of some crime. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they should be freed for their crime. But if they're speaking their mind and there's a predator that's a male, I'll say he's a male, even though the judge says he's a female. That's the politics that have gone wrong, and I'm sorry to take up your time. It's a great show, but it really enrages me that we as citizens are paying for all this, just like you said, and it's just preposterous, and I hope we can get a change and get the word out there to people, get rid of Newsom, just Newsom. That's his name. Let's hang him up. Hang him high. Anyways, have a great day. Sorry.
Thanks for your passion. Well, there is a man who cares about the women in our prisons who are going through this, who says that conservative men are anti-women. But we only have a couple minutes left. So the people, this is a very intense topic. I acknowledge that. And it is very enraging. I think anyone with a heartbeat, who can imagine these very close, intimate spaces, women who cannot go anywhere and what it must be like. It's kind of every woman's worst nightmare. So what can people do if they are spurred to action by what you're talking about?
You know, you can contact your assembly person, your senator. You can actually leave a message for Gavin Newsom, and you can let him know that this is bothersome, that this isn't okay, that this is a female human rights crisis, and that you don't support it. And you can remember these stories when you vote in November, because all but 9 conservatives in California fully supported this law, including the Women's California Women's Caucus. So just remember that and keep that in mind, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take these local elections, and we're going to have to make the change from the ground up. And just please remember us at the polls.
This is an issue that is also happening at the federal level. Really quick, we just have a minute, but is the whole country on track to becoming California? Yes or no?
if depending on what happens in November, we'll have to talk about it again after the election.
Right. Well, thanks for all that you do. Amy is the head of Woman to Woman. Where's your website? Where can people find it?
You can find more information about us at www.womaniiwoman.org.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
And on that happy note, I thought that I was going to have a more uplifting show, but I did want to highlight that Amy, who has been working on this issue for years, really has been getting national attention, and women's voices are being heard from behind bars at the national level in a way that I would not have even predicted even a year ago. So no matter how small you think your voice is, if you talk loud and you don't stop, you'll get heard. So anyway, freedom-loving people everywhere, I hope you have a wonderful week. Take care.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.